I'm Tracy from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Are you a small business owner or even someone who dreams of entrepreneurship? Then check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from iHeart Podcasts and Intuit QuickBooks. Join hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres as they interview entrepreneurs sharing insights around starting and nurturing a small business. You won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hello and happy Friday. I'm Tracy V. Wilson.
And I'm Holly Fry.
This week we had our most recent installment of our Unearthed episodes.
We sure did.
Had a lot of things to talk about. Some new categories, yes. Including walls.
Yes.
When I realized there were multiple walls, I was like, so many walls. I don't think this has happened before.
Il y a beaucoup de wall.
So we've said before that the way that I do this is I keep up with the news for the entire year. And when it's time to work on Unearthed, I will go back and I will look back again at all of the things that I have bookmarked to talk about. And the very first thing, the absolute first article that I opened, immediately irritated me because it described a coin hoard. And if you're a longtime listener, you know there's always a ton of coin hoards.
Tracy is over coin hoards.
Yeah, often they just don't feel like they are very distinct from one another. But this one was described as being in a piggy bank. And I was excited because I thought we were going to get a historical vessel, if not shaped like a pig, shaped like some entity, like shaped like an animal or something. A figurative piece of art that also held money.
Lies.
No, it was a jar. It was a jar. It was the same as putting your loose change into a mason jar, but, you know, made of pottery. And I was like, I got off on the wrong foot. I was excited about a piggy bank, and it's a jar.
Oh. I was tickled by so many things in this installment of Unearthed. One was the Stilt Village, and here's why.
Yeah.
I spent a big chunk of my childhood growing up on the Gulf Coast, where there are a lot of stilt houses.
Yeah.
And so I was like, well, of course they were perfectly delightful. Like,
yeah.
Stilt houses rock. If you don't know, there are houses on stilts along the Gulf Coast because of storm surge and hurricanes. And it's like, you don't flood if you are 10 feet off the ground.
Right.
Or you're less likely to flood is what I should say.
Yeah. The beaches that we went to when I was a kid, there were two beaches in North Carolina or Northern South Carolina that we spent a little bit of time at in the summer as a vacation when I was a kid. And a lot of the houses would be on stilts, for the same reason. Especially the ones that were on Wrightsville Beach, which is an island. And, you know, big hurricane on an island can easily just inundate the entire house.
Yes.
But I hadn't really made that thought at all. I had more thought, you know, 2,800 years ago, approximately, living over a river, you know, in a time that it just seems like life might be harder in ways than it is for a lot of people today living in a, you know, industrialized society where we have our own problems, but they're not necessarily the same as what I imagine this was like. And I was like, no, this does actually sound really nice to have a nice, well-insulated and also well-ventilated, nice clothes to wear. Everything seems comfortable.
Sounds charming.
Yeah, seemed very charming.
I don't have anything about this other than you could probably hear the hell yeah going on in my soul reading about the mummies with golden tongues.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, if that isn't the start of a great movie, I don't know what is.
Yeah.
So maybe that's a good Halloween costume. Mummy with a golden tongue. I don't know.
Maybe.
It's just cool. here's the thing that I might cry while I talk about this. And you'll laugh because it's not something worth crying over necessarily, but I was very moved by it. In our Amelia Earhart talk.
Yeah.
She came up recently on something and I got real weepy and you were like, what is this about? And I was like, I can't even explain it. There is a Bob's Burgers episode from this current season that is about one of the kids doing a project on Amelia Earhart. And she ends up doing this shadow puppet project. And her version of what happens to Amelia Earhart is so beautiful and moving. I do get choked up.
You're choked up now.
100%. It's so good. Lauren Bouchard knows what he's doing heading that show. But if you have never, ever seen it, you would know that Amelia Earhart is not in the ocean because she flew away forever into the sky. And it's so beautiful and I love it. And that's what it makes me think of.
Yeah. I was glad to be able to talk about a potential find related to her that was like from a different organization. I feel like we might get angry emails from people, but for a while, it seems like there was an Earhart headline about every year. And often it seems like they were re-looking at the same couple of small items that had been found on an island. And I was glad to have a find by, I think, as far as I know, totally unrelated group, which I was appreciative of.
One of my other notes is about John Shakespeare.
Okay.
Just because every time I have ever encountered John Shakespeare.
Uh-huh.
From the time, like, you know, high school, college, etc. That has always sounded like the most made up fake ID name ever. What's your name? John Shakespeare.
For it to be John and Joan also cracks me up a little bit.
John Shakespeare.
As we were talking about that, of course, I also thought about the thing we talked about, I think, last time of the floor that Shakespeare might have walked on, maybe. And this is definitively belonged to one of Shakespeare's relatives.
We're just not sure which one.
Probably sister, not father.
Yeah. John Shakespeare. My other two things. Listen, the Pokemon Van Gogh thing cracks me up.
It cracks me up too, honestly. I don't, of course, know the details of the personnel decisions that were made.
Right?
I feel like stealing items from your workplace, probably grounds for termination.
Yeah. Helping people on a scavenger hunt.
I sort of feel like if somebody had worked for me for 25 years and had been a good employee during that time, and then during a scavenger hunt, they were sort of telling people what the answer was, I personally would think that might be something that, you know, needs some kind of, I don't like the word discipline really, even as like we're doing union bargaining.
Right.
The iHeart podcast union. The word discipline comes up a lot. Like, it's a word that has a meaning in labor and work context, but it still feels like a kind of gross word to me sometimes. So I might feel like there might need to be some kind of at least reiteration of the rules. And so this person losing their job, I'm like, is there more to this story?
That's what I keep wondering, because my first thought was who among us has not done a scavenger hunt or some kind of event like this where some of the people running it are helpful and others are not? And is this actually a fall down on the part of communications to say, under no circumstances are you to tell people where things are or hint at them? It, for all I know, this could be a docent who's I don't want these poor people to get frustrated. That's not a fun day at the museum.
Yeah.
Like,
crying kid, what's the better option?
Right. Right. And I don't know. But I always find myself, because I am also, deep in Star Wars fandom, not Pokemon fandom, but I tend to think about, like, okay, if this same kind of thing were happening in my fandom, would I be one of those people that chases something like this down? And I don't know that I would be.
Yeah.
Which is no shade to people that do. I just always find myself going, okay, is all of this effort and hustle worth the stress of it? And will it really be beneficial to me? Like, in 6 months, am I still going to care about this?
Right, sure.
In 1 year, am I still going to care about this? In 5 years, how much will I care that I have the Van Gogh Pokemon?
Yeah.
Except I'm trying to, translate it into a Star Wars thing. Like, is there a Van Gogh Porg? And would I knock people over in a museum for it? I don't know.
I feel similarly about, like, seasonal events in video games where you get special prizes. And there have been video games that I was really excited about, and I would make a concerted effort to get the seasonal reward prize. But I just, for example, came back to a game called Astroneer after a long time of playing it, and I came into it near the end of a seasonal event. And at first I was like, this seems cool. And then I was like, oh, I can play the game the way I wanted to play the game and not shift focus on what I was doing to try to do all the seasonal event stuff instead. And it is not going to have an impact on my enjoyment of this game to not have the seasonal visor reward.
Yeah, it's tricky. Those are tricky.
So yeah. Do you have another thing on your list?
Yeah, you know what it is.
What is it?
Ruby slippers.
The ruby slippers, yes.
I mean, I have seen a pair of the ruby slippers in person. I think I've seen a couple pair.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to be cruel, but to mistake those for actual jewels seems like a bit of ding-dongery.
Well, and so that's okay, to me, especially when we get to the part of the movie, I guess the whole time she has the shoes on, it's in color.
Yes.
It's obviously sequins on TV. On TV with, the image quality of a television in the 1980s, which is probably the first time I ever saw it. So I really don't know. And I did not go, like, read court transcripts or whatever. That would have been too far for this. Like, I don't know if this is something, if this person really did genuinely believe that these were real rubies, or if this was their defense lawyer's defense that they entered into the record to try to get, because I think he pleaded guilty, so to try to get a more lenient sentence.
Right.
And I don't know the answer to any of that, but when I had seen the headlines coming across that were like, the shoes were found, the shoes are going to court, and then I got to the ones about, thought the rubies were real, and I was like, what? I had not been thinking about putting this in Unearthed until I got to this part about thinking the rubies were real.
Yeah.
That's a whole thing.
Yeah, it's super duper weird to me.
Yeah.
And it's like one of those things, I guess if you're facing like serious repercussions, you might be willing to just feign that you are unable to use your vision to make decisions about things, which is the kindest way I can put that.
Yeah.
But I don't, it's super weird defense to me. I'm going to start selling sequins on the black market now.
So, yeah, I did have a number of questions about like what was really going on with that. I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs, and if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
If you use paper, you're a human. But if you choose paper, you're a papertarian, someone who lives a paper-based lifestyle because it has a positive impact on the planet. And also because it's the easiest choice you'll make all day, seriously. It's as easy as reaching for boxed instead of bottled water. It's as easy as opting for beauty products that come in paper packaging. It's as easy as grabbing eggs in a cardboard container. And that's all in one trip to the grocery store, which, if everyone's being honest, you were planning to go to anyway. But paper isn't just an easy choice. Papertarians know that it's the smart choice, too. Because paper comes from trees, a renewable and sustainably managed resource. And paper products are designed to be recycled. In fact, when you choose products that come in paper-based packaging, those fibers can go on to be recycled up to 7 times. So why wouldn't you go Papertarian? Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/Papertarian.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
A couple of things that I did want to note is that, one, I really felt like, just from my gut response, there was more stuff this time around that had been published as open access than in previous.
Yeah, it seemed like
there was a lot of open access stuff, which is nice because one of the things that I like to do, especially when we're talking about like research related to indigenous communities or research related to communities that were colonized and the colonizers are doing the research, like, I always want to see if I can find out who, like, did you have permission to do this?
Right.
And being able to read the whole paper as an open access thing is, like, that makes it a lot easier to figure out sometimes because it will be there in the whole text, and then you not might not be able to see that if you can only see the abstract. And in this case, there were a couple of things where I couldn't find any evidence about permission being given. And for a couple of them, I was like, this makes this research kind of upsetting to me, because we talked about several things that were related to ancient DNA that I tried to stick with the stuff that was like did not have that layer to it, or if it did, like the. But there was one study that we didn't get into in which a government had given permission to remove pieces of bone from this burial site and take it away to another country to do this DNA research on it. And I was like, did you ask?
Right.
I can't tell from this paper that you asked. And like the fact that you took pieces of bone away somewhere else without asking, like I felt gross about it. Conversely, there were a couple of things that that didn't make it into the episode just because I could not find the best way to approach it.
Mm-hmm.
One was about Aboriginal peoples in Australia living in coastal areas 50,000 years ago. And I couldn't quite wrap my head around how to explain it, which is why it didn't wind up in the episode. But the indigenous or the Aboriginal community that this was the subject of the study was actively part of the study and cited as co-authors on the paper. And that I really liked, even though I was like, I can't figure out how to explain this. It was just a little bit beyond my ability to comprehend. Also, there was just a lot of stuff. There were way more links to go through than I really thought. And we could have probably done a third episode. I could not have written a third episode in time to record it. But there was enough material that we could have had another episode that would have had as categories, possibly, war stuff. Because there was a whole lot of stuff that I had that was about gauntlets and armor and lots of stuff about armor and the large number of unexploded ordnance discoveries and animals that we had a bunch of animal finds that I had pulled into a partial list to maybe talk about. Same as last time, we didn't have a whole section on repatriations. I didn't feel as much like I was reading a police blotter when I read about various repatriations this time. But I wanted to focus more on the final rule for NAGPRA. That felt like a more meaningful inclusion in the episode than the like few individual reparations that had come up in the news research over the last few months. So, yeah.
Don't mind me. I'm just picking sequins off of everything I can find to sell on the black market.
To sell them on eBay.
Here's my thing. Why is that a better defense than saying he stole them to sell them to a private collector?
Yeah.
I mean, is it a different level of punishment potentially?
Yeah. I don't know. Again,
I'm literally going to lie in bed awake at night wondering what the heck the thought process was here.
You're going to go trying to find court transcripts to see exactly what it was that was said.
Why is that a better defense than just saying he thought some collector would want Judy Garland's shoes?
Yeah.
Unless, here's my crime fanfic, unless saying something like that might implicate a person who would get real, real mad. That's the only thing I can think of. Like some renowned, very dangerous collector of Wizard of Oz paraphernalia.
Sure. I like how we're making kind of a whole alternate universe about, so anyway, aside from immediately getting off on the wrong foot with a piggy bank that was really ajar, I had a fun time researching this. It is still fun. Occasionally when it goes in a more frustrating way, we will get emails from folks who are like, I hope it stays fun because I like listening to them. It's still fun. Still fun. And it'll be back in roughly 3 months with another installment of Unearthed. So happy Friday. Whatever's happening on your weekend, if you're going to go to a museum that's having some kind of collaborative exhibition that may or may not have a scavenger hunt, I hope it goes well and is not some kind of strange descent into absolute chaos of people trying to get a limited edition card. If you're able to take a break, I hope your break is very restful. If you're not able to take a break, I hope you're able to take a minute, like some solace somewhere. We'll be back with a Saturday Classic tomorrow and something brand new on Monday. Stuff You Missed in History Class is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elia Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
people that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.